If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. We count it a real joy today to greet you again in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts are thrilled here at Worth Baptist Church as God continues the spirit of revival in our midst. So far, the month of September has been our best September on record. Again, last Sunday, almost 500 people answered the roll call in our Sunday school. God is blessing by saving souls and by adding to the church week after week. We're rejoicing at the good things that God is doing for us. And we feel the same is true across the Metroplex and across the nation and around the world. We believe God is honoring His servants everywhere. And we believe that God is doing business in a lot of places today. We believe that worldwide the power of the gospel is the same. Our missionaries are reporting wonderful results from the various parts of the world. Our fellow pastors in the World Baptist Fellowship are sending good reports of how God is blessing their ministries all over the nation. Our school, the Arlington Baptist School, the Arlington Baptist College, and Bible Baptist Seminary, these are being blessed of the Lord with record enrollments this year. And so God is blessing His Word all over the nation and around the world. And we're rejoicing because of it today. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we want to extend to you and your family today a cordial invitation to come and worship the Lord with us. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church has but one textbook, and that's the Bible, the Word of God. We believe the Bible to be inspired, to be infallible, to be the eternal and never-ending word and revelation of our great God. In other words, we believe that God has spoken to us in the Bible, and this is His ultimate and final revelation to mankind. So we teach the Bible in a systematic way in every class, every Lord's Day, in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship begins at 11. This service has been designed to meet your spiritual needs. And hundreds of people are coming to hear the Word of God in the Sunday morning worship hour. The Sunday evening worship service begins at 7. And again, the greatest crowds in history are attending Worth Baptist Church on Sunday night. We believe that men are anxious to hear the Word of God. We believe that hearts are hungry for the Bible and for the truth. So we invite you today, if you do not have a church home, to come and visit Worth Baptist Church and enjoy the good things that the Lord is doing for us as you share in our great fall festival of faith. Last Sunday, our Golden Victory enlargement program began. And throughout the days of the fall season, we're expecting God to give us the greatest period of development in our church program and the greatest number of souls. And after all, this is first, last, and always our ultimate goal, to win the lost to Christ. And all of these things are adding up to what we believe is going to be the most tremendous and the most outstanding period of development in the history of Worth Baptist Church. So we would be pleased to have you and your family come and share these things with us. And then we think it would be well if you would just call a neighbor, a friend this morning and tell them that Worth Baptist Hour is on the air. Tell them about the ministry of this broadcast and how that its only aim is to preach Christ and to bring men to the Lord through its messages and through the songs every Lord's Day. So today might be a very special day in your life. Maybe there's something that you're planning and you're programming to be an outstanding event. Well, let me tell you about the most wonderful thing that could happen to you. If you are not a Christian, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, the most wonderful thing that could happen to you today is a personal experience with Christ. The Bible says you must be born again. And I want to ask you a heart-to-heart question today. Have you been born again? Do you really know the Lord Jesus in full pardon and forgiveness of your sins? Have you the assurance of going to heaven? You can have this if you'll simply trust the Savior in this hour. If you'd like to know more about it, we invite you to come and worship the Lord with us today at Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. As we have announced before, we are now in the process of drawing up the plans for our new location on our 14-acre site, just 1/2 mile north of Loop 820 and adjoining the Fort Worth State School property. We have purchased 14 acres at that site, and we are anticipating our move in that direction. So we want you to pray with us in this matter and share with us in the good things that God is doing already at Worth Baptist Church. We'd like to hear from you by mail this week. On the first Sunday of October, we will celebrate our 5th anniversary of Worth Baptist Hour. We'll be having more to say about that along toward the end of September and the beginning of the month of October. But during these 5 years, God has blessed in a marvelous way. Week after week, people are telling us what the broadcast means to them. And this is a source of encouragement. So we would simply like to hear from you this week. You may call us or write us and just let us know what the broadcast means to you. The telephone number is 534-0787. That's 534-0787. And our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. In the meantime, we would look forward to seeing you today in the Sunday School Hour and in the services of worship here at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Things Which Never Change. I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. But before I read the scripture, I want to ask that you pause with me just a moment in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for this wonderful opportunity to talk about Christ, to talk about the Bible, to talk about heaven, to talk about those things which never change. It would be our prayer that this moment the Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of those who are listening. We pray especially for those who are unsaved, without the Savior, that they might come to know Him today. And some, dear Lord, who are despondent and discouraged, there may be someone listening in this hour who's ready to end his life, ready to close the book of life and give up. I pray today that that one might anchor his faith in Christ and in those things which never change. For our shut-in friends, for our friends in the hospitals and the rest homes and wherever they are, for that stranger today in our city who's listening, for that one who's just traveling across the Metroplex, wherever that one might be today that needs encouragement and strength, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give them these things. In this broadcast is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, at verse 22, But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See then that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those things which cannot be shaken. I've entitled the message, Things Which Never Change. We're living in a world that's characterized by change in 1974. For example, a man used to go home and say to his wife, when he entered from the day's work, "What's cooking?" And now the wife comes home and says to the husband, "What's thawing?" Well, that's just one more example of the changing times and the changing world in which we live. Without calling it what it really is, we are in the midst of a cultural, social, scientific, religious, educational, and political revolution. When the historians write about the decades of the 60s and 70s, surely they'll characterize these decades with one word, revolution. They'll add to it, change, because we've undergone many changes in the last 12 to 15 years. This is a restless age in which we live. It's an anxious age. It's a nervous age. As someone has noted, even our breakdowns are having breakdowns. Our nerves are having nerves. These are things that point to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Paul reminds us that the days prior to the coming of Christ will be dark, difficult, perilous times. We're living in those days right now. And the word change is written on every page of human history. Look about you today. Just recall momentarily some of the things that you've seen undergo tremendous changes in the last few years. Our fads and fashions have changed. Our governmental system has changed. Politics have changed. The industrial areas of our city and of our lives have changed. All of these things note that this is an hour of upheaval and unrest. And these are indeed, I repeat, the dark, difficult, trying, perilous days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose the most permanent thing we have is change. But I'm happy to report to you today that there are some things which never, but never change. Let's share several of those thoughts together in these few moments. First of all, the principles of right and wrong never change. Right is right and wrong is wrong, whichever way you look at them. The Bible says, "Woe unto them that call good evil, and evil good, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe unto them that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." You see, God does not have one standard of righteousness for the east and another for the west, and still another for the north and another for the south. God has one standard of righteousness and truth, and geography does not change truth. Truth is truth wherever it is found. Time does not change truth. Truth is truth whenever it is found. Circumstances do not change the truth. Truth is truth under whatever circumstances it's found. I'm of this persuasion, and I hold to this conviction firmly, based upon the Word of God, that if it was wrong to lie and cheat and steal and murder and commit adultery in the day of Moses when the Ten Commandments were written, it's wrong in 1974. If it was wrong to covet and swear and disobey parents then, it's wrong in the 20th century. If it was wrong to worship idol gods and make graven images in those days, I believe it is wrong now. For again, the principle of right and wrong never changes. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and never the twain shall meet. I'm also of this persuasion, and I hold firmly to this conviction based upon the Word of God, that if it was right to witness and win souls and share Christ in the days of the apostles and the early church, it is right in 1974 for Christians to do the same. I further believe if it was right to pray and study and meditate in the days of the Apostle Paul, It is right to do those things now. Furthermore, if it was right to attend church, to tithe, to support the church, to be faithful in matters of stewardship, to defend the faith, back in the days of the New Testament era, I believe it's right for us as born-again believers to do those things today. God is still the same God, and the Bible is still the same Bible, and that basic fundamental principle of what is right has not changed, and the basic fundamental principle of what is wrong has not changed. Someone put it this way, methods are many, principles are few. Methods change often, principles never do. In the second place, I would say that the philosophy of evangelizing the world never changes. We've tried in the 20th century, in the midst of 1974, to excuse ourselves from the responsibility that is incumbent upon us in the pages of the New Testament. All we are saying, but times have changed, and this is a different hour, and this is a different age, and I know that. But beloved, if they did it in Jerusalem, we can do it in our city. We can do it in Fort Worth. The gospel has not changed. It is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. He's still the blessed third person of the thrice holy God. And he's still in the world today to convict and convince of sin. Jesus Christ has not changed. He's still the Savior. He still has power to save all who will come to God by him. The Word of God has not changed. The Bible remains the same. It's still the only book of absolute and final, inspired, eternal truth. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. And these things have never changed. What we need to do is to get back to the philosophy that's found in the book of Acts. In chapter 1, the prayers went up. In chapter 2, the power came down. In chapter 3, the people went out. In chapter 4, the prospects came in. And in chapter 5, the persecution broke out. Now, when we get that perspective and begin to pray, the power of God will be upon us. We'll go out and win souls. The people will come in, and then persecution will break out. And persecution always drives people to their knees. So the cycle will begin all over again, and we'll be back in the midst of the philosophy of the book of Acts to evangelize the world, and that philosophy never changes. There's a third thing that never changes, and that is this. The promises of God never change. God said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. The writer of Hebrews said about Christ, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God promised to answer your prayer, and God never changes his promise. In 1 John 3:21 we read, Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then whatsoever things we ask of him, he will give to us. God still answers prayer. God promised to supply your needs. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:19, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. He promised to give you strength. The Bible says, as our days are, so shall our strength be. God promised never to leave you. Jesus said, I will go with you always, even unto the end of the age. God promised to preserve you, to keep you, to protect you. The Bible declares, the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. But you know, my friend, there is a secret in realizing the fulfillment of God's promise. And that secret is this, be still and wait with patience upon God. I read in Psalm 27:14, Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Isaiah writes in his 40th chapter at verse 31, They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My friend, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Would you like to know how you can be still? Would you like to know how you can silence the problems of your mind and calm your troubled soul? Listen carefully, and I'll tell you how you can do it. Get alone in the quietest place you can find. The Bible says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Do not read, do not write. Just let the mental picture of the most peaceful scene you've ever seen come to your mind. Then begin to repeat words like tranquility and calmness and rest and peace and quiet and confidence. And then let the Holy Spirit bring to your mind the great old hymns of the church. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Rock of ages, how firm a foundation. And then let the Holy Spirit bring to your mind those wonderful, precious passages of Scripture, like the Lord is my shepherd, like let not your heart be troubled, like thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Let these come into your heart and come into your mind, and you'll find that you have a perfect prescription for a powerful peace by getting in the quiet place before the Lord. The poet put it this way: I had walked life's way with an easy tread, had followed where comforts and pleasures led, until one day in a quiet place I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body but none for my soul, I had entered to win in life's mad race. When I met the Master face to face, I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day, while my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place naught else did I see but the Master's face. And I cried aloud, "Oh, make me meet to follow the steps of thy wounded feet." My thought is now for the souls of men. I've lost my life to find it again. Ere since that day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. I have a footnote, and then I shall be through. There is one other thing that never changes, and that is this: your personal, individual need for God. You need Him in poverty and wealth. You need Him in sickness and in health. You need Him today. You'll need Him tomorrow. You need Him in life. You'll need Him in death. You need Him for time, and you need Him for eternity. And the beautiful thing about it is this: He's just as near as your faith. All you need to do is reach out by faith and place your hand in His hand. And right at that moment, you'll realize the power of God in your life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless you as you do it, even in this moment. As we close the broadcast, we want to say again that it would be our joy to have you and your family and friends to come and study the Word of God with us in the Sunday School hour at 10, in the services of worship at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. today. So until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.